Hi guys, welcome to the Pet Quarter, the pet nutrition podcast that helps you feed your pet better. On each episode, we answer your questions from allergies, dog food brands, and everything in between. Please submit your questions at info@thepetquarter.co.uk with the subject podcast. We have the best community in the world. Thanks for listening. Question number one, what's your opinion on vegan diets for dogs? How interesting are these questions and all these diets that are popping up everywhere? And every single manufacturer, every single company is trying to tell you something different. He's trying to sell you something that has almost nothing to do with your dog. It's got to do with a marketing angle, or it's got to do with what their vision is as to what your dog or cat should eat. Now, vegan diets for dogs are a terrible idea. Whether dogs can digest or cannot digest carbohydrates, well, we now know that dogs can actually digest some amount of carbohydrates. They secrete, they produce hepatic glucokinase, so they can break down starches. As to how much, how many carbohydrates they can digest and how much you should feed them of these carbohydrates in their diet remains a bit of a mystery. My hint and my suggestion is always to feed them as low carbohydrates, as few carbohydrates as possible. The least amount of starch is the better for your dog. If you look at your dog's mouth, they have sharp canines, they lack salivary amylase to break down any starches whatsoever. They have short intestinal tracts, those akin to carnivores. The acid, the stomach acid, is akin again to carnivores, and it's meant to digest very, very rapidly, to digest food and crush bone and pulverize bone very, very effectively, efficiently and rapidly. And to be perfectly honest with you, they should be eating more meat than anything else. So whenever we have companies promoting veganism for dogs, my reaction is horrible. I don't like it. I wouldn't recommend them. And the only one case that I have seen in all these years doing this was of a big cavapoo that came to one of our branches, and this couple had spent £14,000 in a lab test down in Oxford, and it was like a first in the UK, and they had gotten the dog tested for absolutely everything, and the dog had a very rare condition which its name escapes me, so apologies for that. But the dog was on a vegan diet and the dog was merely surviving. The dog was allergic to absolutely everything, and you could see the coat was flat, the coat wasn't good at all. The dog's health and the dog's condition was very, very lackluster, but that wasn't what their owners wanted. The owners wanted their dog to be alive and to be with them, and that's precisely what happened. This dog, yes, wasn't in the best condition. This dog was on a vegan diet and this dog was merely surviving. But that was enough for this couple. And the couple spent an awful lot of money, time and resources, and they got it checked. And the dog was, you know, he was alive. They were happy and the dog was happy to be with them. So barring the thousands of pounds, If your dog has this sort of condition and needs to be diagnosed, I would suggest that vegan diets are a terrible idea for dogs. I mean, cats obviously are obligate carnivores. They thrive on meat, and they need meat. They need taurine. And obviously, we can debate all we want about pea protein, potato protein, chickpea protein, but at the end of the day, that really does matter. Where protein comes from really, really does matter. Protein coming from chicken, protein coming from lamb, those are going to have a lot more vitamins and amino acids, and at a micronutrient level, that is really going to take part, and that's going to play a role in your dog's health. Just as with your life, basically, if you are a vegan, you will find, and I have nothing against vegans, obviously, you can do whatever you want. I honestly do not care what you do with your life whatsoever, but it is a bit harder, and you have to, because I have vegan friends, and they find it harder to maintain a balance in their diet and find it hard to get their macronutrients from different places. For example, eggs. Eggs are a wonderful food. So to deprive yourself and to deprive a dog from eggs would be a tragedy, in my opinion. So if the dog is healthy, I would never ever in a million years recommend a vegan diet for dogs. If your dog has allergies, before putting the dog on a vegan diet, I would run a blood allergy test, and it is very likely that your dog is not allergic to every single protein, and that you can find a rare protein like kangaroo, ostrich, goat, something like that, and your dog will be a lot happier. Thank you for the question. Are Dreamies good for cats? Well, like I always tell people, cat food and cat treats are a bit infuriating. They get me really upset because, like trout, like lions, like polar bears, like any other carnivores in the savannah, cats only and exclusively need meat to live and thrive and survive. The problem comes with modern treats and modern cat foods, and a lot of these manufacturers, like I say, they just put whatever they want in the treats, they put whatever they want in the food, and they sell it to us as neutered cat, adult or kitten, female, or clever marketing tags and marketing nomenclatures. But whenever you look at the ingredients in cat food, in commercial cat food and commercial treats for cats, it's cereals, it's the wheat, is the meat and animal derivatives, it's the sugar. They add sugar, they add dextrose to the cat's food and treats. And I just think this is not on. We are giving our cats something that's inherently bad for them, inherently something that goes against their biology. I just think that if you own a rabbit, you wouldn't give a rabbit steak. You wouldn't give a rabbit any sort of meat because you know what a rabbit eats. You know that rabbits are herbivores and they just eat plant matter all day, every day, and they are happy, and they are, you know, they're perfectly happy beings. So why are we given the opposite, a cat, an obligate carnivore, any cereals, any sugars, any wheat, any barley? It really does escape me. The answer is obviously money. And whenever you look at the treats, the Dreamies, whenever you look at the ingredients are not biologically appropriate for a cat. And they are horrible. So I would suggest you read the ingredients for everything you give your cat. And my cat doesn't get any rubbish treats. No wheat, no barley, and definitely no sugar. My cat is on a diet comprising of 100% meat, which is what he is happy on, what he's biologically designed to do. And He's just very, very healthy. Third question, my dog has hunger pukes. Can you help? Well, it's called Bilious Vomiting Syndrome. Can be caused by all sorts of things. It can be caused, just like in my dog's case, because he starts after dinner to go up and down and gets very unsettled, and he sort of regurgitates his food. And that's something that does happen occasionally. And some people call it hunger puke, some people call it regurgitating. For some dogs, it happens in the morning, and for some dogs, it happens at night. It has to do with the acidity, the fullness of the dog's stomach, and it has to do with a variety of symptoms and a variety of different issues. It's hard to pinpoint without the actual diagnosis, because I don't really have all that much information. So there's a few things you can do. Obviously, you can give the dog a source of soluble fiber, a source of insoluble fiber, just to see, just to aid that gut. You can simply restrict your dog's movement, which is what I do with my dog. Anytime he eats, he has to sit, and that's the end of it. He's not allowed to play, he's not allowed to go up and down, because if he goes up and down, or if he has any sort of movement after he has eaten, he will vomit, and it's not very nice, and it happens in the morning, anytime he eats, basically. Consider something like slippery elm or marshmallow root, something like tree bark powder, that works really well. Try to tinker with the dog's daily allowance of food. So instead of maybe giving him all that, let's say we have, for argument's sake, a kilo of meat every day. Instead of doing 500 and 500, why don't we do 400, 300 and 300? Why don't we do more? Why don't we do less? Why don't we just do it in one go? How about three times? How about four times? You are going to have to tinker with your dog's food and find a solution that is for you. It is sometimes a bit upsetting, because it can go in a bit of a circle whenever your dog doesn't eat, and then they finally eat, and then they regurgitate the food, or they have the hunger pukes, or they have one of these episodes, and it isn't very nice, because you are worried that your dog is fussy to start with, the dog is not eating, the dog is driving you crazy, and now the dog is throwing up and vomiting. And I know that this can be upsetting. So the only way I can share with you of something that has worked for me is to tinker with the dog's food, add a herbal supplement, add a source of maybe soluble fiber or insoluble fiber, and see how it goes. We had a lady asking for breakfast cereal for dogs, and this was a fussy cockapoo that turned their nose at the food. So this lady was looking for the equivalent of Weetabix, or the equivalent to cereals for dogs, because she just thought that was what the dog wanted. And this is another example, another classic example of us catering to the dog. If you have a dog that is fussy and you have a dog that is not eating, by you modifying your behavior, you are enabling your dog's fussiness. You are enabling your dog's behavior. So the first thing you need to do is acknowledge that and stop it altogether. Just stop what you are doing and get tough on the dog. Obviously, make sure the dog is safe and the dog is healthy and the dog doesn't have any issues. But aside from that, if you are trying to modify your behavior, if you are trying to modify what you do for the dog every so often, then the dog is going to carry on doing it because he's getting away with it. So I would implore you to stop it. Ryan on YouTube. Thank you, mate. I've had one sick pup on my hand, was feeding Royal Canin gastrointestinal with no a good result. I did a video on Royal Canin gastrointestinal and the ingredients in Royal Canin gastrointestinal, and you only have to look at the ingredients and to see that that's not an appropriate food for a dog. I know it's a prescription food, and I know that so many people, well, millions of people all over the world follow Royal Canin and buy it, and they swear by it, and some people are really happy with the brand, and they are very happy with getting recommended Royal Canin, and they swear by the gastrointestinal modality of Royal Canin. But I don't, and you know that we don't, because we focus on ingredients. We know what we know about dogs, and we don't think that Royal Canin is a brand that's suitable for dogs. If you have a dog with a sensitive stomach, if you have a dog with gastrointestinal issues, there are so many avenues you can go down that are so much healthier than Royal Canin. So yeah, watch the content on YouTube, and if you need a consultation, you need to speak to one of our team. Click on consult thepetquarter.co.uk consultation, and we will be very, very happy to help. Kate from Instagram. After watching some of your videos, we switched from one food to a better food. One we stock, but we don't want to. We don't want it to be about us. So I'm not going to disclose what we sell, because I don't want to promote what we sell, because this is all about helping you. It's not about helping me. So that's why. The stools are firmer, but there's still also sometimes sloppiness. Is this the body getting used to it? We didn't transition the dog. We didn't do it straight away because we left the old bag of food behind. Well, thank you so much for your question, Kate. And there's a couple of hints here. You haven't transitioned the dog. Even if you transition the dog to the best food in the world, the body is going to go through a transition. For example, if we are transitioning the dog from the worst kibble on the market to the best organic raw food on the market, the acidity is going to be different in the food. So it's going to take the dog a bit of time to get used to the food. Bear in mind that obviously dogs have different dietary requirements depending on their health issues, depending on what they are tolerant to, and if they have any intolerances, it will show in the food. For example, the new food you are feeding contains different proteins, whereas the last one, the one you were feeding, only had, I believe, one or two animal proteins. So if the dog's poos are sloppy, say in the next couple weeks, in the next month, then you should go line by line and maybe try to identify what could be the potential allergen. Could it be something temporary though? Could it be something the dog has eaten? Could it be the fact that you haven't transitioned the dog properly? Could it be that the dog has eaten something? The dog has eaten new treats. The dog is in a new location, for example. When dogs travel, when dogs get a bit upset, when dogs' routines change, they get sick, they don't want to eat, now they have diarrhea. You don't really know until you get back into the routine. So there could be a few things, and I hope it works out. I wouldn't try everything at once, and I wouldn't try to do a few things at once, but those are a couple suggestions for you. Thank you so much for the question. I made a video on raw dog food, and Lee asks, I give around 250 grams at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. so give 500 grams in total. He's 8 months and he weighs 13 kilograms. I wonder if this is enough and complete. Well, Lee, thank you so much for the question. I did a video on complete and why you need the food to be complete. If you are a raw feeder, you should try to replicate the whole prey ratios, the 80-10-10, whereby 70 to 80% of the food is lean meat, 10% is offal, of which 5% is liver and 10% is bone. Whenever we talk about puppies, whenever we talk about active dogs, it really does depend. Is the food enough? Well, it depends. Is the dog fat? Is the dog very lean? Is the dog in perfect health? Is the dog active? Is the dog not active? Is the dog a border collie, for example, and it's just running around 12 to 14 hours every day? Or is your dog one of these tiny lab dogs and the dog doesn't move? Those two dogs are going to have very different dietary requirements. But the complete thing doesn't have to do with the amount of food you are giving the dog. The complete refers to the 80-10-10, to giving the dog 80-10-10. I'll explain what I mean. A lot of people will come to us and they say, well, we are raw feeders. Yeah, we love raw feeding our dog. Okay, what do you feed? And then they say, well, we buy chicken mince and that's all the dog eats. Well, where is the offal? Where is the liver? Where is the bone in the dog's diet? Chicken mince isn't a complete food. It isn't. It's raw, yes, but it isn't complete. So whenever I say complete, what does complete mean? It means that you are providing your dog with those whole prey ratios. And this is why one of the reasons why we harp so much on you not DIYing the food. You, in our opinion, should buy something that's already made, that's already complete, that you only have to thaw and give to their dog. If you have nothing better to do and you want to buy different bits and bobs and weigh them out and put them and prepare them and thaw them individually, then more power to you. There are some very beautiful platters of raw dog food out there. But for most people, busy people, feeding a complete dog food is going to do the trick. So whenever we say complete, that's what I mean. Does this match or get close to the 80-10-10? That's a complete meal, not the amount. And then is it enough? When puppies are developing, when we have adolescence, when we have growth spurts in humans and in dogs, dogs tend to eat a bit more and not put weight on. So my recommendation for a lot of pet parents is feed the dog a bit more if the dog is hungry still. Maybe don't overfeed them way too much, but if you want to increment, if you want to increase that amount of dog food, say 5-10%, and the dog is still sort of hungry after the regular allowance, then why not? They are burning the calories. They might need some of those extra nutrients. So that's the advice for Lee. Thank you very much for the question. You can send your questions at info@theirpetquarter.co.uk or by submitting a form in the consultation bit on our website. Every week, hundreds of dogs walk into our branches with problems we solve. Would you like us to take a look at your dog's diet? Are you tired of going to the vet without making progress? You can actually book a one-to-one consultation by visiting thepetquarter.co.uk and under the tab consultation. Do you want to learn more? Follow our YouTube channel.